Part 1. Normals, whatever you're used to. Chapter 1. My Roots, in which conversion experiences and church worship are looked at in characteristically exhaustive, rambling, disjointed detail. I'm trying to be taken seriously when I write stuff, and I often write about Christian things. I'm looking to be accepted with open arms as someone writing a book which takes a solid look at Christian community and upbringing. I'm exploring what they have to do with reaching out to and finding God Himself, and what can go wrong with that. So I feel this pressure. I feel like I'm supposed to start a book like this by saying something like,
as a worship team leader and then youth pastor in a loving church environment, and then moving on from there to my post-secondary theological educational career, including undergraduate, seminary, and doctoral studies, as well as 18 years as a faculty member of an evangelical seminary, I have been nurtured and formed by evangelical communities and convictions and believe strongly in them.
But I won't, because I'm not, and I didn't, and I haven't, and also I don't for the most part, obviously. But I was raised Christian, all right. And I am a Christian. I really am. Not professionally or anything, in my soul, though. In my life. No fish on my car, but still. I went to church an awful lot growing up, and I took it all very seriously. My church was probably a bit different from a lot of people's. I was raised in a Plymouth Brethren group. If you have no idea what that is, it wasn't terribly different from a traditional Baptist or Pentecostal or Presbyterian church. We believed in the Bible, we believed in Jesus, we believed in heaven and hell, and Jesus had died so we could go to the former and escape the latter. We came into church every Sunday morning. We sang songs to God and prayed to Him. We took communion every Sunday to commemorate and show our gratitude and appreciation for Christ's sacrifice for us. One thing that makes talking about our group difficult is that it believes firmly in not taking a name. It believes that we are the Lord's, and to take any name but His would be to deny it, and then be merely associated with some church. Because we didn't think we were just some church. We were more scriptural than the others. If you see us on Facebook or web pages, you will often see the words so-called put before Plymouth Brethren, so we can deny calling ourselves that. No, it's other people who are calling us Brethren or Plymouth Brethren. In all the various evangelical fundamentalist churches that are out there, it's the same. Some people were raised very strictly, and others much less so. For some, church was just one part of the week, and for others, it was kind of the core of absolutely everything. For some, love and enthusiasm were the focus, and for others, it was solemn reverence, doctrinal correctness, and righteous living that were mainly valued. Our group focused on the latter. There are many different Plymouth Brethren churches of various kinds, most of which have little or nothing to do with one another anymore, though they all share the same roots. There are Plymouth Brethren groups which are more or less exactly like any Free Methodist or Baptist or Pentecostal church, and there is the lunatic fringe of the movement as well. Growing up, we knew that our Tunbridge Wells Brethren group was a fairly strict, rules-based one, certainly compared to open Brethren groups. We also knew that there were other closed or exclusive Brethren groups which were so much stricter than our own that it is really necessary to use the C-word about them. Cult. They have a single worldwide leader with business interests on four continents and privately owned jets to take him around, ruling his group by weekly decree. Members required to cut off really all social contact with anyone who falls into disfavor with the group or with that man of God on earth and his arbitrary rules, the latter two being the same thing, even if said people are members of their own family. But in our group, we didn't have Bruce Hales or anyone like him. But a few generations ago, we'd all been part of the same group. They got where they are today from where we all were back then. An awful lot of people living in North America today were raised to be Christians. Not all of them ended up that way, of course. Some now feel that their church experience truly was an important, healthy, wholesome part of growing up, and others end up taking great exception to parts of it. And the funny part is, you can't point to the ones who believe in God today and see the positive experience, and then point to the atheists and see them claiming a negative experience. It's not like that. It's more complicated. Many atheists think church was and is a really good thing for kids to grow up with. Very comforting and all that. Good moral lessons. And many Christians nowadays had what can only be described as a terrible time growing up with a Christian upbringing as they did. And the atheists certainly aren't likely to know less Bible or have less understanding of doctrine than the Christians. It's weird. For me, church could not have been presented as a more crucial, serious thing than it was. So I took it very seriously, from a very young age. I read the Bible every day. I did my best with everything about my church upbringing. I did everything I was supposed to do. But then things happened. God was one of those things. This book is about all that.